welcome to another brand new episode of Take a Shelfie, the podcast about beer and bottle shops and the beer and people you find at bottle shops. I'm Jeff Martin, and with me as always is my co-host and friend, Matt Prince. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing as well as I can be with all this heat, Jeff. It's been really hot, which makes sense because it's the summer now, but I feel like I'm in a constant state of sweating.
The summer in the mid-Atlantic, you know, we're supposed to be a temperate climate. Temperate.
Right.
And yet we find ourselves in humidity that matches the temperature a lot of days.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Are you drinking something that is helping you cool off from that?
I am. You know, after last week's episode, I had to drink the Kool-Aid and go get a can of Deep Cut Pilsner from Love City Brewing right here in Philadelphia. I mean, we're in the Philadelphia area. We're not actually in the city, but I love Pilsners. And our guest last week, Alex Moore, spoke so highly of the beer that I had to jump at the opportunity. So,
did you get it from Pinocchio's and Alex, or did you go down to Love City to get it?
Oh, I got it from Pinocchio's. It seems like they got a second shipment in of Love City, which is very exciting. That means that it's selling. So it's nice to see a local brewery selling. So, Jeff, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a homebrew, and not to entice our listeners to drink, though they should because I've mentioned homebrew.
Yep, drink.
But it is a homebrewed brown ale. It does not have a name. It was brewed for competition with my homebrew club. But I am drinking it in honor of today's guests. Today's guests are Rich and Mengestu. They are the owners of Two Locals Brewing Company, and brown ale is one of their signature styles. So I couldn't drink their beer, but I do have a brown ale on tap, so I'm drinking it.
Well, cheers to that. And like you said, we have two very exciting guests today. And before we talk to them, I wanted to kind of frame our conversation moving forward. You know, we can't run and hide from the situation that is happening in our country right now. There are there's a lot of racial tension. Before we embark on this interview, I just want to say, if you haven't seen our pictures on our Instagram, Jeff, you and I are both white. The craft beer industry as a whole is predominantly white.
If you go to a craft beer bar or a brewery, you're going to look around and see a lot of people who look like us, especially who look like me right now, because I'm a bearded white dude, and that's what you see in a lot of breweries.
Right. There is a gross underrepresentation of people of color in the craft beer industry, which I personally view as part of the problem. But I'm happy to say that we are interviewing people today that are part of the solution, it would seem. I'm really interested to pick their brain. I'm interested to get their thoughts on craft beer in general, and also a little bit about what it's like being Black brewery owners and Black brewers. So I'm really looking forward to this. I think people like you and me, we can listen today and we can learn a lot from this. So I hope that people get that out of this. I know I will.
So Two Locals is Philadelphia's first Black-owned brewery, and they were just starting to get their feet under themselves when the pandemic hit. They had started a GoFundMe, and they were trying to raise some money to get a physical space. But, you know, once the world sort of took a pause, they put that on pause, and now they're putting out beer on occasion. But I'm just really excited to talk to them because, you know, Philadelphia is an extremely diverse city, and it's just not seen, like you mentioned, in the beer scene. You go to a brewery, you look around, you don't see a true representation of what the breakdown of Philadelphia is. So I'm excited to talk to these guys and talk about the way that they're putting a stamp on the Philadelphia beer scene. So let's welcome them on. Rich and Mengestu, welcome to Take a Shelfie.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us. We're excited.
Awesome. So every brewery owner, they have like a start to their craft beer journey. So just tell us a little bit about your craft beer journey. Like, what were the first beers that you guys drank that kind of flipped the switch? And what are some of your favorite beers now?
For me, the beer that I always say that turned me on into craft beer would be the Bubbly Wit by Cox Street. It's a Belgian wit, and it's fermented with champagne yeast. And at the time, I didn't really know anything about beer, but I just found it really cool that beer was fermented with yeast that's used to make champagne. Like, I just thought that that was cool. So that was my first craft beer.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I'd say, you know, and I'm not as organic as Rich, I'd have to say it was probably a Blue Moon, was like sort of my first introduction to some craft beer. And that sort of set it all for me. I thoroughly enjoyed Blue Moon. And I mean, to this day, I mean, we make something very similar to a Blue Moon, our Belgian white. And I absolutely love that beer, but that's sort of what kicked it off for me.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. One of my first craft beers was Magic Hat Number 9. So tell us about what you continue to drink and enjoy.
I see myself often reaching for Victory's Cloudwalker. I see myself reaching for that often. You mentioned you were drinking a half-acre IPA. I think their pale ale, Daisy Cutter, is probably one of my favorite beers.
Absolutely. The Daisy Cutter is amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. I had two of them last week. After a hiatus, I couldn't find it in any of the local spots near me. But that's amazing. I'm more of an ale guy. I love a good IPA. So I think probably Love City has, you know, the Unity is pretty good. Yards has a good IPA. Victory, some of the brands that I enjoy, so.
And then how and, you know, which one of you was it that, you know, started to make the move towards homebrewing, and what was that story like?
That was me. So I got my first homebrew kit in 2016, and I got a 1 gallon homebrew kit to make an Irish red ale, and it came out pretty good. So, I mean, after that, I just took a nosedive into learning, like, how to brew and all the beer styles. I joined the Philly Home Brew Club just to practice our recipes and see how our beers taste. But after a few brews, that's when I pulled my older brother in, and the rest is history.
Nice. So I'm really curious. I'd really like you to tell us about black representation in the brewing industry. You know, where do we stand now in terms of how many breweries are African-American owned? Do you guys know that number?
I'm sure the number's changed a little bit, but I'm sure it hasn't changed much since there's always breweries opening. I'm pretty sure it's still around 1% is black owned.
So you decided to start up a brewery. And how was that process different than it might have been for a white brewer?
I mean, access to capital is our hardest hurdle. What would you say, Jesse?
I agree. I mean, I think it's the access to capital. You know, we've talked to some brewers that we've, you know, sort of grown a connection with, and what they've told us is, you know, they've been able to get multiple sources, obviously, some, you know, equity through some private investors, and then, you know, eventually a small business loan. So I think, you know, having sort of that network to, you know, sort of say, hey, I believe in this, you know, this mission that you guys are on, and I want to write that check, you know, help you guys out. It's something that we don't have and we're searching for. And I think, you know, that's probably one of the barriers to entry, one of the biggest barriers to entry, because it's costly, right, to open up a brewery. Overhead is tremendous. So I'd have to, you know, side with Rich. That is definitely the capital.
Yeah. So you look at a city like Philadelphia, where the largest demographic population is black. But if you look around at the, you know, the crowds of people who go to breweries and the people who run breweries and give brewery tours, that's not representative of what the makeup of the city is. So can you give us a little bit of insight into what the black beer community like is in Philadelphia, and then how important it is for black drinkers to see someone like them making the beer that they drink?
Yeah, I mean, black people like beer too, and black people drink beer also. It's just that, unfortunately, when we go into breweries, oftentimes us and our friends are the only black people in the brewery, or there might be another black guy that walks in, but he's with a group of his white friends. And that's what we see a lot. So, I mean, the crowd is out there, and I mean, hopefully when they see us, we can help bring them out more. That's part of our goal. We want to try to get the African American community more into craft beer, and not just craft beer, but into ownership also.
Absolutely. Just to piggyback off Rich said, I mean, I think representation matters. So, you know, people, you know, African Americans might definitely drink craft beer. They might not necessarily feel comfortable going into an establishment where nobody looks like them as well. And not saying that that's the case for everybody, but I think there is, you know, a portion that probably doesn't want to go into a brewery. I personally love breweries and Rich loves breweries. I think what we bring to the industry is sort of bringing our own culture, our own vibe to the beer industry. And I think that's something that's missing, and that's definitely a plus. And people are going to love it when they come into our brewery.
Yeah. When you think about beer, you always think about getting with a group of friends, just talking and having a great time. And we want to bring like our version of that. We want to bring our own vibe.
Yeah, because a brewery can be an important part of the community. It's where people gather. It's where, you know, people meet new friends and everything. And so to have something like that where people can feel comfortable being themselves, it's got to be obviously super important.
Can you guys talk a little bit about, you know, we talk about your brewery in particular and breweries in particular, but can you just talk about the importance of Black-owned businesses to cities and communities?
I'll go first, George. I think that Black-owned businesses are extremely important. You know, we talk about, you know, African-American communities and just having ownership in businesses and feeling that sort of community ownership. It's extremely important. It's extremely important if you're trying to build generational wealth and passing down, you know, ownership of that business from one generation to the next. And that's definitely something that we're looking to do.
Yeah. And also, you have to recirculate that dollar back into your community. So to take a page out of the Asian community or even the Jewish community, they built businesses for themselves and that dollar recirculated into their own community. So that's what we're trying to do as well.
I want to talk a little bit about Two Locals in particular. Why don't you tell us about your beers?
We produce 5 main beers now, which will probably be our core beers when we open. The first beer that we brewed with each other is a pale ale. It's called the 215 City Ale. When we first started, we brewed it as like a classic pale ale, balanced Citra and Centennial hops. Now we changed it to kind of match what we see more often, which is we added oats, so it's a little bit hazy, and we add our hops a little bit later, so you get a little more hop flavor from it. We make a oatmeal milk stout. We make a brown ale, which we call our Nubian brown ale. We make a Belgian wit, which we call Who You Wit. And we make a IPA, of course, because you know, everybody loves IPAs. So those are our 5 beers that we'll probably have year round. We also played around with some fruit beers. We brew a blonde ale that we add strawberries to. We're trying to get like a pinkish color, but that hasn't been working with just strawberries, but we got a hint from another brewer of what we should use to get that red color. So hopefully next time that should come out right.
And Nubian Brown has won awards, yeah?
Yeah, we won second place at Winter Warmers here in Philly in 2019. So that was cool.
I see you guys just the other day brewed with Love City. Philadelphia is such a thriving beer community. What has been the early reaction in the early stages of building your business? And have you found any, you know, Philadelphia brewing help? Have you found any help in this community from other brewers?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the industry is very inclusive. We've gotten a lot of help, like a lot of good advice from other breweries. So that's been extremely helpful for us in sort of mapping out, you know, our path to opening up a brewery.
Yeah, Love City's been a huge help for us. They always invite us into their brewery and show us around. We've been there for a few brew days. Brewery Arts, you know, they've sat down and like they've like looked through our financials and stuff, like told us what we need and what we didn't need. The brewing industry is really helpful, and I mean, they've just came out and gave us every tip or advice that we could ask for and answered all our questions, whether they're dumb or not, you know.
Is there a hope that once you guys launch that, you know, you might be a catalyst for other black brewers to, you know, start trying to make a claim in the Philadelphia beer market?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's sort of part of our mission, right? As part of our sort of community building mission. I mean, I think it's growing, right? Like the craft beer scene in Philadelphia is growing, right? It's not, I don't think it's at all, you know, saturated or at a more mature stage. I think it's still growing. And we would like to introduce craft beer and breweries to our community with the hopes that, you know, younger adults that look like us might say, hey, this is something I could potentially do. I could go and, you know, be a brewer, right? And I could eventually potentially open up my own brewery or go work in another brewery. So, you know, I think you could liken this to another trade, you know, that we could throw out there for young adults coming out of high school, right? Potentially that might not want to go and be an engineer or a doctor, but also, you know, we could partner with some local colleges. I mean, there's a lot of science, right, in brewing beer. So there's tons of stuff we could do that I think could help build community in African American community. So
where and when can people and how can people get your beer during the pandemic?
So we can't sell our beer legally. We can only give out samples. Right now, we're waiting for some labels because we would like to give out six packs, but we don't want people taking pictures of our beer. It's just a brown bottle, you know? So at this time, we would like to get some labels, and we should be able to have some six packs, I would say, in the next couple weeks. And then from there, we'll announce on Facebook, Instagram, how you can get them, if we can, like, drop them off to you, all that.
It's very exciting news. It's very exciting news.
Yeah. Just to add, like, we had a bunch of sampling events lined up pre-Corona, and then Corona hit and it just, you know, went down south, and we had to sort of, you know, let it take a back seat. But that's typically how people get to taste our beers. We, you know, do sampling events via, you know, nonprofits that we're connected to. So
I know you guys put a pause on your GoFundMe for a little bit, but when might you start that up again? And also, you know, I'm hoping that after listening to this, our listeners want to support you guys. So how can they do this?
So we're not sure when we're going to launch another GoFundMe or Kickstarter. When we do it, I mean, we would like to sample beer. We've seen Harris family, you know, they raise tons of money without being able to sample their beer. But that's the way that we would like to do it. So we still have to talk about it and see when we would want to and how. But the best way that people can support us right now, we launched a website, twolocalsbrewing.com. And we're just thinking for now, we're just going to try and sell merch because at least people can have something for their money right away. So that's the best way that you can support us now. And we also have a Venmo if you just want to donate to help us out. And that's at Two Locals Brewing.
I know Matt's excited about the merch. We were looking at the website yesterday, and he's a fan of the shirt.
Nice. Yeah. More to come.
Yeah, the shirt's
for sure.
The shirt is fire. It's
nice. Thank you.
Yeah, it's
thank
awesome.
You.
Well, Rich and Mangestu, thank you both for joining us. We are so excited about your story. And, like, you know, we can't wait for this pandemic to be over, A, so that Matt and I can see each other, but also then so that we can support your brewery in person. So thanks for being appreciate here it. And good luck to you the rest of the way.
Thank you.
Thank Jeff. You so much. Appreciate thank it. You, thanks, guys.
Listeners, if you want to support Two Locals Brewing, you can find them on Instagram at Two Locals. They are also at twolocalsbrewing.com, and they, like they said, they have a merch shop open where they have a pin and a shirt. Matt, I'm pretty sure you're already on that website ordering that shirt.
Oh, I'm definitely going to get it. Definitely.
Yeah, Matt's a big beer shirt guy. I think the pin is going to find its way onto my podcasting bag.
Good.
At some point soon. You can follow us on Instagram at Shelfie Podcast. You can also visit us at shelfiepodcast.com, where we have our episodes in full up on the website. You can comment on those. You can also comment on our beer reviews. And I'm really looking forward to the day when Two Locals is available for us to get, because the way Rich talks about beer, I just know that it's going to be good. We really look forward to future guests. This has been a great run of two episodes so far in a row where we've had guests. I'm super looking forward to reaching out to more people and talking good beer, Matt. It's just a great thing to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of it is that we will never run out of guests. Like, there's so many people in the industry, there are so many breweries, there are so many new breweries opening, that it's just like a treasure trove of great information about beer. So it's exciting.
You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get fine podcasts. And while you're at wherever you do that, please give us a nice review. It really helps with, you know, getting the word out there about the podcast. Until next time, I'm Jeff Martin.
And I'm Matt Prince.
Cheers.